The Nine News podcast is brought to you in association with Freddie Flaxman. All right, everybody, and welcome to episode 294 of the 9 Years podcast. I'm Luke Draper. I am joined, as always, by the face of the BBC Sport website, Mr. Stuart Deacons. And in a short while, we will also be joined by our number nine, Josh Davison. But before Josh arrives, we're going to talk about all the news and events and happenings and goings-ons at AFC Wimbledon this week. We will, of course, later on be playing our game, Jackson 5, and our new feature on that side of it. We'll look ahead to the visit of Barrow on Saturday. But to start with, Stu, we were going to spend a great deal of time on this one. This is not because we're suddenly being blasé about winning football matches. After all, this is only our first away win of 2022. It's only our second win in 34 games. But the 2-0 victory at Crawley on Saturday was similar to the Gillingham victory on the opening day, really rather comfortable.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was. In terms of second half, obviously they went down to 10 men. We just played keep ball. We had our own ball. We played with it. And we made sure we kept it until the final whistle. And Crawley, bless them, just were saving themselves, obviously, for the game against Fulham, because they just didn't, really come at us. They just conceded ground, settled for a 2-0 defeat. And it was like one of those games in the World Cup where, you know, like teams just need that. That's what they need. They need that result. And they none of them attacks each other. And they just basically play pretty passes. That was Crawley's second half on Saturday.
Doesn't sound the most engaging, but just to recap, we won 2-0. First half goals from Nathan Young-Coombs and Ethan Chislett. Second half, Tony Craig, about the hour mark, sent off for a second bookable offence, tripping Nathan Young-Coombs as he was in on goal. He seemed to protest it, but nothing's come of it. It looked clear as day, to be honest with you, a booking and a red card. Chislett with the second goal with a free kick. Chislett had come in. Again, the only change to this starting 11 at the moment seems to be either Asal or Chislett in that role, either just behind the strikers or as a third man in midfield. Chislett comes in for Asal this time. And we say, we got the two goals. The first goal comes from high press, won the ball back high at the pitch. George Marsh was actually really quite far forward and he plays through. 1-2s, Josh Davison plays in Nathan Young-Coombs. He finishes it fantastically well. Did we benefit? It was good pressure from us, but Crawley seemed to want to pass the ball, but they wanted to move it really, really slowly.
Yeah, both teams wanted to play out from the back. We were just better at it than they were. The press is really good, actually. If you look at it, it was just setting traps in terms of, you can see Josh Davison around it, then Marsh, then Gunter comes in. You can see it's a very much setting a trap, let them play in it and just got the ball off them. And I like it. I like that press. It's not an all-out high press. It's more pressing in certain areas, but pressing in numbers. And if you do that effectively, then, you know, you get your joy. And Josh Davison's able to play a short pass into Nathan Young-Coombs and it's an excellent finish because the goalkeeper's massive. Like, if Carl Hudson had been playing, Hudlin, that's his name, isn't it? If he had been playing, would have been ridiculous because, like, he would have been 3 inches taller than their goalkeeper and the goalkeeper was touching his head with a crossbar. Just crazy.
Carl Hudlin, yes, you don't want to get names wrong on the podcast. That would be an error. And then the second goal, Ethan Chislett, second goal of the season, just smashes it into the top corner from the edge of the box. Fantastic free kick. And, I mean, Chislett, he's got goals in him. We said last season we thought he should have featured more. And he will feature more this season. We'll explain why more about that in a moment. But yeah, everybody loves Chiz.
Do you know what? I think you're being a bit harsh with him to say he just hit it. It's a cracking free kick. And bearing in mind, a goalkeeper is basically he could lay along the floor and fill out the whole goal. Massive. Have I said that already? Yeah.
He couldn't fill out the whole goal. That would be somewhat extraordinary. That would be a goal-shaped man.
He's a big goalkeeper, and with his haircut as well, it makes himself about a foot taller as well. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's humongous. So, you know, he didn't have much to aim at, but it's a great free kick, and just before half-time really set us up. But of course, everyone knows that a 2-0 lead is dangerous, especially for us.
Yes, but not on this occasion. As you said earlier, Stu, we saw that second half. It was all very, very comfortable. And 3 points, second win of the season, third clean sheet. And having dropped those two goal leads in the previous two fixtures, just exactly what we needed second half. I don't think anyone can have any complaints about that. Elsewhere in the squad, we had some comings and goings this week. Luke McCormick.
Yeah.
I was really surprised about this. I just did not see this coming at all, that Luke McCormick was to depart. But nonetheless, obviously, Bristol Rovers came in with a shock bid this week and lured him away from us to the, yes, as I say, to the aghast surprise of many. We're never going to, well, we might one day know exactly what happened. We're never going to know the whole story of exactly what happened with Luke McCormick. He did play a couple of times in pre-season. Then rumours started. He was absent from the team photo. We were told he was injured. And then just everything went dead quiet. Who knows if there's an agent in there somewhere that's been stirring things. We just don't know. It's all rumour and innuendo. But I'm not going to lie. He's a player that is a loss. I'm sorry. Whatever people think, and the rumour and innuendo and people are saying that they're not happy with him because they don't feel like he's acted well with us. They don't think he's acted in good faith with us. As we say, we don't know the whole picture. But don't let that change the fact that he is a very, very good player. And last season, what was it? 7 goals? 8 assists. I think I actually looked at this. If you took away his goals last season, I'm like, all right, we got relegated anyway. We'd have been 7 points worse off, Stu. And that's basically a fifth of the points we won last season. He's a good, good player. So I don't really want to hear the revisionist history of he wasn't that good, wasn't that impressed, bit of a waste. No, he was a good player. And he performed well last season in a team that struggled.
I agree. And I think the reaction is very much because of that. And, you know, football fans are like, you know, we all, you know, whenever a player comes, we love them. And when they leave, we hate them. Or, you know, if they leave in a good way, which obviously Jack Redoni did. Yeah, a lot of rumours. Hey, look, rumours are that, do you know what I mean? Chinese whispers, all that sort of stuff. It's obviously been interest from Bristol Rovers. That name's been mentioned around a whole lot. And, hey, look, do you know what? We had a price that we wanted for him. It looked like it would become apparent that he wouldn't be in our plans or didn't want to be in our plans. And I think there's some sort of clever wording from Johnny Jackson about, you know, the Harry Pell signing, that you want players and want to play for you. And do you know what? If Luke McCormick didn't want to stay with us, then there's no point in keeping him.
But ultimately,
we set a price that we weren't going to... I actually think we've come out very good in this because... I feel a couple of years ago, we would have probably gone, just need to get what we can. But we've, you know, Bristol Rovers, it looks like, and again, this is all rumour, but it looks like Bristol Rovers have had to come in and probably meet our evaluation or get a bit more serious than what they thought. Because they may, hey, look, in football, it wouldn't surprise me if Luke McCormick and his agent would have been Bristol Rovers. Happens all the time, do you know what I mean? But I'm pleased that we've come to a... arrangement that's happy for both parties. He goes on now and probably play Saturday against whoever they're playing against, and we've obviously been able to use some of that money, whatever that money is, to bring in Harry Pell. So effectively, we didn't have we had someone sitting on not even on the bench. We had someone not available who is part of our squad and our budget, and we've managed to get rid of that, and we brought in a player, and hopefully we can use that for some others as well.
Yeah, and as we said before, when early part of the season, we talked about us having a strong first 11, but maybe not the depth on the bench. But we forget that in another life, Alex Rudyard wouldn't have been injured, and that would have been another body in the squad. Luke McCormick would still be with us, and that's another body in the squad. And then Carl Hudlin wouldn't get injured either, and that would be it. So it all sort of falls into that thing. But as we say, it's a bit like a mortgage chain, isn't it? You have to get one part of the deal has to happen and be agreed before the next part can then happen. So before the next person can have their go. And that's obviously what's happened. We needed to make sure that Luke McCormick was off our books, that we were no longer paying his salary, and we freed up some slack in the salary budget to then bring in Harry Pell, who has returned to the club from Accrington Stanley.
Yeah, that famous club up north.
So, can we try that again?
Fine. I did it deliberately. That lovely club up north. Who are they?
Yeah, there we go. Thank you very much. Exactly. We feel last season he was, again, in League One. His stats were good last season. I've got him down here, 6 goals, 5 assists from centre midfield. And we've all seen the video and we all remember he doesn't tend to, when he scores goals, they're not tap-ins. They do tend to be cracking strikes. And I remember a couple that he got for us. I think he scored against Scunthorpe early on in his career with us at King's Meadow. The game I always remember for Sam Winnall, giving it the 2-0 to us behind the goal. That was a mistake. We went on to win 3-2. Torquay on the opening day, I think it was Harry Pell's shot that deflected in, first goal of the season in 2013 under Neil Ardley. Remains our manager with the highest win percentage of all our Football League managers, just the same, everyone. 30 years old now, which just shows you how time flies to think that he's now in his 30s. I'll be there soon. But as you said, exactly the sort of player you want, a character and somebody that's mobile, that's going to get around the pitch and is different to what we already have, which is always a good thing.
I agree. You know, in terms of, hey, look, we all remember him when he was here and he left in 2015. And actually his last game was the FA Cup game against Liverpool, which is always interesting. Good way to go out if you're going to go out. But I think, hey, look, do you know what? There's a lot of people been saying that it's not always good to bring players back. We've been there, we've been stung, we know that. But I think we've got a player that's been away for, you know, 6 years, 7 years, and has played, you know, lots of games at League Two level, League One level, goals. And he's, you know, he said he's had goals to his game, and he's older. You know, he's 30. We, you know, experience wise, that's really good. I think we need those legs in midfield. You know, people say he's 30 and he's not fast. Well, I don't think he was ever fast, but he's just got long legs, doesn't he? Do you know what I mean? He just sort of seems to eat the ground up very quickly. And I think the way we play, we do need that sort of burst in midfield. And once we beat the press, we need to be able to come out of it with a bit of pace and, you know, that and that side of it. And he has goals to it. And then when you look at the situation, obviously, when Woody comes back, Woody will be, you know, that'd be interesting to see him alongside Harry Pell. Magoma, to see him alongside Harry Pell, because Magoma's here to learn his trade. And now he's got, you know, 2 30-year-olds, you know, Woody and Harry Pell to play alongside. I think it looks really exciting. And I think the only shame about it is he's just not fit. We've got, it's like another Carl Hudlin situation where he just hasn't played enough games pre-season. So it looks like Harry's probably going to play against Villa in a week, I would have thought. And yeah, we're going to try and get his game time up. So we probably won't see him. We probably won't see him that much early on, but that's not a major problem because we've got numbers at the moment.
Yeah, and as we say, we've got a team, 11, 12 players that are solid and performing well, so there's no real need to change at this moment in time, so there's no rush. It's a marathon, not a Snickers, as they say. The other bit of news this week, Mick Buckley appointed AFC Wimbledon chair. Just highlighting that as a news item, Stu, to be honest with you, if you're going to ask me what that actually means, I couldn't really tell you, to be honest with you. I know that Mick has been appointed AFC Wimbledon chair, which means that he is also, he's the chair basically of the of AFCW PLC. He's basically the man that's on top of everything at the moment. So, yeah, on top of everything underneath the Donstrust board still, but day to day running the club, as it were. So that's not really changed, really, from what it, the situation before. We're still looking to appoint a managing director, and we're still looking to appoint a director of football. So, yeah.
A head of football operations, or HOFO for short.
HOFO. What's the... oh, it's FOMO, isn't it? Fear of missing out. And now we've got HOFO.
That'd be their nickname whenever they join. Yeah, do you know what? It was a news piece. There was quite a lot in it. And it's so easy sometimes for it to go over people's heads, which is a worry on that sort of side, isn't it? But it's important stuff. Hey, look, you know, Ian McNay has dropped down from being PLC chair, and he's been in that role for many, many years. And Mick comes in into that. And the PLC is really important. It's the operational side of the club. Managing director, yes, apparently that's, I think that's, gone to the first, you know, first stage is gone, and I think it's gone out to the offering out stage and stuff like that. Let's hope we pick somebody who doesn't have to give a notice period or has to go and do their garden for a little while. And we're going to start out the recruitment of the head of football operations, because obviously we brought in a short term Mr. Jackson, wasn't it? I can't remember his first name, is it? No, it's not Johnny Jackson, because that's obviously our manager, but there's another Jackson who come in. Who probably, I don't know, Mr. Jackson, we'll call him. And he come in obviously to sort this window out, but the recruitment side is going to get moving again for the full-time side of it. So hey, look, do you know what, there's a lot of change. Mick, hey, look, I've known Mick for ages. I'm more than happy for him doing what he's doing, and I think I would also probably say it's probably more of a challenging job than he probably realised, and I think anyone realises until you go in there. And actually for him to be around for another year overseeing it, that gives me a lot of confidence. But we still need to recruit the right people in the right places. And we don't want to be next summer. No, moving, I know we only just started this season, but you know, this summer we've gone into it with really a lot of people we've had to recruit. It would be nice to go into next summer with a bit more of a stable, so we can give obviously League One a great shot when we get promoted in May.
Jesse Jackson.
That's no.
So close.
Ideally.
So nearly. All right, we're now joined by Josh Davison. And Josh, we're going to go straight into it. Doncaster, was it your goal?
Oh, we spoke about it. I think it was over the line. To be fair, a few of the lads did. But Coombsy, being a striker, he's got to stick over the line, isn't he? So he's got to stick over the line. I would have done the same.
What happens with that now? Do we have the goal? Wasn't there a committee, wasn't there, years ago?
Dubious goal committee, panel. Wasn't
it? That's it, wouldn't it? Do you know what I mean? Like,
I'm not sure. I've seen all the there's been obviously dramas around it before with Harry Kane and Son, where Harry Kane was trying to get a goal off Son, and there's at the end of the day, we're a team, aren't we? So his goal.
Is that more what it was? Is it more a case that it's gone over the line and stuff like
that's
that?
That's it. Yeah, the point that was making it, that was a goal for us, so I was just more buzzing celebrating in front of the crowd, to be honest. No matter who's got it, once I was just buzzing with scored. So.
And then you went on a couple of days later and got your goals anyway. So happy days.
Yeah, that's it. Both come from Coombsy assist as well. So he did say he'd return the favour. So he done it the best way possible.
How are you finding that partnership at the moment? It seems to be taking off really quickly, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. He's a good player. Like, from when we first stepped on the pitch together, we clicked, we complimented each other really well. So. He's a good lad as well. We get on well off the pitch, which is always a plus. So, yeah, we're doing well. Hopefully, we can keep it going.
Well, we kept it going on Saturday. 2-0 win against Crawley. Seemed to go exactly according to plan.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, well, 2-0 up. Obviously, Crawley away. I think every game away is going to be tough. Teams are going to get points, no matter how they can get them. So, when we got the cushion, and then they went, obviously, to 10 men, didn't they? And We've been speaking a lot about, obviously, killing games. So what we did was we just kept the ball, passed them to death and saw the game out without any hitches.
We were talking earlier and we were saying, you know, the high press really done well. Was it a case of, you know, sometimes you look at setting traps. It looked like, you know, you went, then Marsh went and then Gunter went and really sort of swarmed them, didn't they, for you to be able to then pass in to Nathan. Was that the idea, to get amongst them and to press high?
Yeah, well, we've been working on it since, obviously, everyone's come in since the beginning of the season. And even in pre-season when I joined, like, high press is what Gaffer wants. So working on setting traps out wide, setting traps on the pitch for us to win the ball back in areas where, even though they've got the ball, we're going to go and score. Do you know what I mean? But we win the ball and then we go score. So yeah, we've done it and it worked exactly how we do it on the training grounds now.
And what about your chance? I've always said to Nick, the goalkeeper is humongous. Like, I've not seen it. I was laughing and saying it. If Hudley had been on there, that would have been hilarious, them two at a corner, wouldn't it? But he was both humongous, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was a big lad. Bit of disappointment in himself, obviously, after the game not coming the way of a goal. One-on-one, fancying yourself to take them chances. So. For me to miss it, especially after scoring the two I scored against Mansfield, which are both harder chances in my opinion.
Yeah.
I thought, I've let one slip away from me there because goals are goals. You want to take them when they come.
I mean, you've got the record last season in League Two of scoring goals. You've got 9 goals last season. Your spell at Swindon. What's the, I mean, last season you were Charlton as well, scoring goals at League One level. What's the difference in the two divisions? Is there a massive gap between the two?
It's a weird one. I think it's just League One now. Some of the teams in League One with the budgets they've got, you look and you see like Derby, Ipswich, Sheffield Wednesday. Like the top teams in League One now are just, it's going to be similar up and downs, I think, between the Champ and League One. But the teams went up from League Two, they've done quite well. not many come back down.
And talking about different levels, you mentioned championship there. Stu was telling me earlier that you've got a good record across all the divisions. Is that right, Stu?
Yeah, I love the way you try and nick my stat there. I was just
I was letting you have it now. I was just introducing.
What I was interested was is that when you done your first interview when you joined, you were talking about non-league and you joined that, and your style reminded me of a player that's grafted in terms of what I mean, that you run the channels, you know, you work hard and that sort of side, which is typical with non-league in terms of working. But then when I looked at it, you've scored in every level from championship down to national league. That's not bad, is it?
Obviously, when I signed from non-league at Charlton, we was in the champ. And I scored against West Brom, which is obviously a good goal to get on my CV. And I scored in every league I've been in, really. So,
how did you find it in non-league? Was that a good? Obviously, you were at Peterborough as a lad, and then in Charlton. Because a lot of players they sort of say they go down to the lower leagues. I know you went down to the Ishmael and North and Prem. Was that good for you in terms of just going down, getting games and? Because it's not always easy, is it, if you're, you know, if you're at a club and you've not made it in terms of then starting again. But a lot of players do that.
Yeah. Well, when I got released, I went on trial a few places and stuff like that. But didn't get into a team. So my local club, Enfield Town, I've been with them before when I was younger. And the gaffer said to me, yeah, come in, you'll play. So at first I didn't. I went on loan to a team in the division below because obviously non-league. There's a lot more room for youngsters. But when I went there, it was more results based because players can lose their jobs quickly in non-league if you're not getting the right results. So, I went on loan to the lower division, come back to Temple Town, done well, scored goals, and it was good for me. It gave me a platform.
Josh, you then worked your way back up early with Charlton last season. You went on loan, as we say, to Swindon. Had a playoff charge. What got to the playoff semi-finals and run lucky then against Port Vale in the end. But what in this division, what makes a team? We were there, what was it, Stu? Six, seven years ago now when we went up through the playoffs. Yeah. But, I mean, the division's changed. I think there's a lot more football being played in this division than it was back then. What makes a playoff team in League Two now? What did that Swindon team have that made it a team that was going to finish in the top seven?
To be fair, we had a good style of play at Swindon. We played football no matter what, out from the back. But I think it was the changing room. The group of lads we had was tight-knit, good group. Everyone got on well. I think in the dressing room, if you get on well as a team on the pitch, it makes it a lot easier because you all know each other. And you know it all comes, the best, you bring out the best in each other. And to be fair, we've got a really good group. The changing room is really good this year. And I'm excited to step on the field with the boys. And so hopefully we can get similar results.
Who are the characters at the moment in the dressing room? Also, we've got quite a few new players. Who are the characters? Paris Makoma looks like a very confident young man on that side.
Yeah. Paris, confident lad. He's a good lad. Coombsy, he loves trying to get people fines. He loves that one. Coombsy's turned into that one.
What gets you a fine? What counts as getting? What do you have to do to get a fine?
Every year you get a fines list. And obviously, there's a selection of things, mostly like due to you as an individual being a bit sloppy, like leaving boots, leaving stuff out on the training pitch, just things like that. And there's no room for error. As soon as, if there's any chance of you getting a fine, people are snapping on you, trying to get that money in the tinny.
There was one character you had at Swindon that I am told is one that, as away fans or opposition fans, we're going to enjoy seeing at play later this season. Harry McCurdy, is that right?
Harry McCurdy.
What can you tell us about Harry?
Oh, Harry McCurdy. Could write a book. he's a great lad. He's a really good guy. I got on well with him at Swindon. Mm-hmm. And obviously, he's known for being a bit out there, whether it's his dress sense or his celebrations, that he used to do to away fans, he'd always get a reaction. So yeah, he likes to rattle people.
It's got so a bit of a
that's the best way to put it.
Yeah, maybe a little bit of Lyle Taylor stew, maybe.
Possibly.
I can see that.
We did have a laugh when Nathan Young Coombs joined because, of course, he's got the Lyle Taylor haircut, as we call it. And if you're gonna, and if you, I always think if you're gonna have a haircut like that, you're gonna have to be decent on the pitch. And yeah, there's no doubt about it on that side of it. So, how, in terms of back to Plough Lane on Saturday, how have you enjoyed it at Plough Lane? I know when you joined, you said you know really impressed with the pitch and stuff like that. How have you enjoyed it at Plough Lane?
Yeah, it's been unreal. Like the crowd as well, like for games is to be fair, it took me a bit by surprise how loud it was. Yeah, like the behind the goal, that stand gets really rowdy, especially when you're on top and you're attacking. You're like, yeah, all right, let's go for it. So the pitch as well is I think it will be the best in the league. I think the pitch, the groundsmen, and the people that have worked at the stadium. The facilities it's a really good stadium. So to be here playing there, it's only going to help play your football in it. So
I was going to say, obviously, you got the number nine, and Wimbledon down the years have had famous number nines. One that's coming along on Saturday, John Fashanu. Looking forward to meeting him.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to meeting him. Obviously, reputation, goal scorer for Wimbledon. To be fair, when I joined, my dad told me straight away about John Fashanu. So
okay.
He told me the ins and outs of what he was like as a player, how good he was. So he'll be good. He'll be good to have him there.
Is your dad a Wimbledon fan, or is he just generally a fan of football?
No, he's a fan of football, and he remembers rough and rugged number nines who put themselves about. So he always tell me, and especially he loved the Wimbledon team with Vinnie Jones in, especially. That's his type of football. Back in the day, so he's always watched, kept an eye on Wimbledon.
Yeah, it's definitely different now to what it is. And I noticed, obviously, you've already picked up a couple of yellow cards. I know it was a late challenge against Crawley, wasn't it?
I think that might be a bit of his influence. To be fair, might be a bit of his. I'd be a kid playing football with him, and he wouldn't hold back from 2 foot in me. So I think I've learned that from him.
I think we're getting well with your dad. I think the old style of football is definitely what's missed now. Yeah. And it's why I mentioned it because in terms of within the laws of the game now, which we know contact is not always favourable, you do like to get, it's noticeable. You do run the channels and you work hard. And I think already, from definitely my point of view, you can definitely see that benefit of, working hard. Is that your attitude, working as hard as you can and, the chances will come?
Yeah, I think coming from where I come from, working hard, like, it's got to be the minimum. I think that's the bare minimum. So working hard, you'll always expect goals. They'll come. When you work hard, you get chances. And all the loan spells I've had technically have helped me. So I feel like I can bring a bit more than just hard work now as well. So
I mean, there have been some big names that Stu's referenced there that have won the number nine for us. John Fashanu, obviously, John Hartson, number nine. Danny Kedwell, of course, Stu. But Stu, if you want to make us feel, well, this is going to make us feel really old, but Josh, you were born in 99, right?
Yeah, 99.
Oh, yeah. So Fashanu was actually retired by that point. Which,
He was presenting the Gladiators by then, wasn't he?
He was on the Gladiators by that point.
On that side, crikey. Yeah, thanks for making me feel old on that.
Yeah, no, that just dropping that one in. Sorry. But Fashanu, Hartson and Kedwell, of course, had a record for scoring some great goals. There was a player we signed this week that's got a bit of a knack for scoring great goals, Harry Pell. I actually think you played for Charlton against him last season when he scored a couple of worldies at the Valley. Do you remember it?
Yeah, I do, to be fair. I told one of the lads about that, where he scored a 30-yard free kick.
Yeah.
And then I think it was literally 5 minutes later, he had a free kick from the same spot, hit the bar, and people think it went over the line. So obviously, we were saying it didn't. But yeah, I saw it and thought, this geezer, he's got Pell on the back of the shirt, Pele. But yeah. Yeah, he's a good player to have on board, so it's only going to strengthen us.
We need to mention just quickly about the loans, because I know Nick was chatting about it earlier, but we noticed you had a loan spell at Forest Green. And Nick loves Forest Green, don't you, Nick?
Right, Josh, when you played for Forest Green, did you have to stay away from meat for your period of time there? And if you did you just randomly just fall asleep and pass out with no energy?
Yeah, I get, to be fair, I get asked that question all the time. So at Forest Green, when you're at the club and around the premises, training ground, stuff like that, match days, it's all vegan.
Right.
There's no meat on site.
Wow.
So yeah, I got used to eating pasta and beans before a game, which I never thought would ever go together.
No.
In my whole life, but you've got to improvise. Yeah, you've got to improvise. But at home, when you're away from the club, you can, whatever you need to do, you can, yeah.
Because what do they do in terms of like post-match? Because we had the stage of, you know, obviously the pizza guy turning up with pizzas, whatever, that sort of high sugar diet immediately post-match. Is that a thing still? And at Forest Green, if that's not allowed, what was it? What did you have?
Yeah, no, so at Forest Green, it was Domino's, but it was all vegan.
It was, right,
so
okay.
It was, vegan cheese pizzas, no cheese pizzas, vegan, the corn chicken bites and stuff like that.
Okay.
All
right.
Yeah.
So the listeners can't see your face at this point, which might be a good thing, actually.
So yeah. we know Forest Green's in the middle of nowhere. Did you have the local Mackie D's on your sat nav?
Mackie D's.
Because Forest Green, to be fair, they've done great. You know, we played them in non-league, and I actually really like it. I love the place. It's a lovely part of the world. But I was always interested how these big clubs would find Forest Green, because I know when we went there before, Nick, you literally had to get a cab to the ground, because it's just, you know, from the train station. So it's a really weird place to have a football team, isn't it? But they're doing really well, and obviously, you know, now in League One.
Yeah, they're a good side. Like they've got a good owner. He knows what he wants to do with the club, stuff like that. They've had good players in. Like they've given promotion a go. We got those playoffs when I was there as well.
But
so them coming up, especially last season, they had a good team and they played good football. So they was always up there to be favourites last season.
Well, Josh, we're just about out of time. Thank you very much for joining us. But before you go, we do have, as we always do, we have 10 quick fire either or questions to ask you, in which we want your answer as quickly as possible, please.
All right. So 10. All right. Cool. I've got this.
All either ors. So, okay, we're going to start with Anthony Joshua or Joshua Lyman?
Anthony Joshua.
Yes or no, should we renationalise the railways?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree, yeah. High press or Corby trouser press?
High press.
Peter Davison or Emily Davison?
Oh, Emily Davison is a suffragette, isn't it?
She is indeed, yeah.
Ah, I know my history, Emily Davison.
Emily Davison. VAR, yes or no?
No.
Should the BBC bring back the classified football results to Radio 5? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes, 100%. Big Brother or Gladiators?
Big Brother.
Plastic straws or paper straws?
Paper straws.
Okay. Right, bear with me on this one. Is giving a Terry's chocolate orange to a woman over the age of 50 on Valentine's Day just being sarcastic? Yes or no?
No.
No, okay. And finally, when you make a cup of tea, do you put the bag in the mug first or do you put the milk in the mug first?
Bag in the mug first.
100%, there we go. Happy days, well answered. Well, Josh, thank you very much for your time. Very generous of you this evening. And good luck on Saturday. Barrow, tough game.
Cheers. Thank you very much. Yeah, tough game. Thank you very much, lads. Appreciate it.
No problem at all. Take
Cheers,
care.
Cheers, Josh. Right, Stu, that music means it is now time for our 3 minutes. And this 3 minutes is on expected goals. Go.
It's something that I've been trying to work out for ages. I used to speak to Robbo about it because Robbo didn't know. Robbo was a little bit confused, and he used to send me some stats, and this is goals were expected. The only thing I don't understand about expected goals, right? Are we expected, is the striker Ronaldo or is it Kwesi Appiah?
Thank you. This is one point I was going to raise. Yeah, exactly.
Because if I'm in front of a goal, I'm scoring. If you're in front of a goal, you might be falling over. Just saying. I've read a lot about it. I understand the logic of it. I still think, you know, Sky have put in expected goals. What else do they put? Involvements now as well. I don't want to go off subject, but involvement in goals or...
Yeah, someone said about Nathan Young-Coombs it was Joby Mackenough on the show. He said, yeah, 5 goal involvements.
That's it.
Jesus. Another overcomplicated man.
Yeah, but expected goals. I've read up quite a lot about it. I understand it. I think it can be a good measure, and I'm... You know, a lot of sports scientists that use it in the game swear by it and say that it's normally not far wrong from your league position, which means just use the league table instead.
Well, I bet you if they were to analyse chances as well, it'd probably bear out the league table as well, I would have thought. I just laugh because on Saturday, Crawley had a higher expected goals than us. Anyone watching that game of football would have gone, this is it's not, how much do you actually judge from it? I mean, I don't know. I just think it's statistics for the sake of having statistics. No, go on.
No, I was going to say, there's obviously some method of madness in it because it's used and it's used quite a lot. You know, some stats come in. And look, I don't mind stats. You know, I like the idea of like the final third entries. I think they're a lot better in terms of they're not based on how good a forward you are. You've entered the final third, and that can always be a good way of using it. But yeah, I think sometimes stats can be a little bit too heavy, but I've always been a case of what striker you're using, because there's some strikers down the years that I've been gone, that is a difficult chance and they're 6 yards out.
Yeah, and there's also an element of subjectivity about it as well, not only in the case of the players involved, but also someone's nailed on chance is somebody else's not so easy a chance. Who actually determines it? It's at least with things like corners and final third entries and shots on target, they're an objective measure. And I like objectivity, Stu, as you know, 2 + 2 = 4. So, yeah.
I was going to say, with the shots on target, a shot doesn't count on target if it's a crossbar.
No, because it's not on target.
Okay. No. But the target has got a post around it.
Well, yeah, but the idea of on target is the ball will go in the goal as long as nothing stops it. And the post isn't stopping it from going in.
But it's the marker around the goal that you're trying to hit a target for.
Yeah, you're trying to get it in between the posts, not on the posts.
Not I want to pick people hit posts, do you know what I mean? But I always thought it's a bit harsh.
Well, there you go. That's put the world to rights for another week on that side of it. How about time for Jackson 5? And again, Stu, not 5 separate questions this week. Last week, I asked you for the 5 last times we had conceded 5 goals in a league game. This week, the last 5 times we scored 5 in a league game. So what were which games and which opponents were the last 5 times in the Football League, Stu? I make this very clear because we did it so many times in non-league, but this is Football League only.
Okay, so Bury is 1.
It is. 5-1 in November 2016.
Because we followed it up for the FA Cup, didn't we, at the same time.
So you have 5 more guesses.
It was rubbish when we started. I can't... When we scored, and they're league games only.
League games only.
Oh, so who are the rubbish teams? Rochdale?
No. 4 more guesses.
Barnet?
No. 3 more guesses. Barnet beat us 4-0, if you remember.
Dagenham and Redbridge?
Yeah, no, but Dagenham and Redbridge also beat us 4-0.
I always get confused with what side of the sheet we're on.
Hold on. So you've got Bury, but you've incorrectly guessed Rochdale, Barnet, and somebody else. 2 more guesses.
I don't know. Bristol Rovers?
No.
Cheltenham?
No.
Oh, my days.
Right. Do you want the list?
There's a list? There's more than 5?
This is going from most recent to furthest away. So the last time we scored five in a league game was, you're going to kick yourself, Stu, away at Accrington Stanley, win 1-5-1 when Robbo was in charge, April 2021.
Oh, dear.
Then we had the 5-1 versus Bury, November 2016, which you did get, so you got one this week. Then we have to go all the way back, Stu, to 2001, and we beat QPR 5-0 at Selhurst Park in the old Division 1, February 2001. Before that, Sheffield Wednesday away, 5-0 in September 2000, our first win post-relegation from the Premier League. And then, Stu, December 1999, we're going to party like it's 1999, because who did we smash 5-0 at Selhurst Park?
And then 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
We did, yes.
Yeah, but I wasn't thinking we were going back that far.
Well, this is how far we had to go back. For losing, conceding five, we had to go back to last week. For scoring five, we had to go back to the a whole different century, a whole different millennium. And Watford at Selhurst Park. The 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, for those that don't know, our goal scorers that day had the shirt numbers and they scored in consecutive shirt number order. So Carl Court, number 7, Robbie Ole, number 8, John Hartson, number 9, Jason Newell, number 10, and Marcus Gale, number 11.
And you know what? To be fair, you do well now to get actually 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 on a team sheet.
Yeah.
In most leagues. Even though I think we're not far away from it. Obviously, Harry Pell's number 8, isn't he? So Nathan Newcombs is 7.
Yeah.
9, Davison, 10.
Davison. 10 is Ayoub, 11 is Chislett. It could be done.
We could do it. Let's see if we can do a Watford this season. Well, actually, not do a Watford this season, but you know what I mean? Yeah.
Smash
it
Watford.
Might happen.
Yeah.
Smash maybe. Watford.
I'd love to smash Watford. Anyway, we'll wait for Luton to do it. Luton can do it for us. Right. Last bit then this week. Barrow on Saturday, Stu. Barrow, what are they doing? They're currently third. Last season, they finished League Two, third from bottom. They stayed up by 6 points above Oldham. This season, they started well with 4 wins from 5, and they are currently third. Their one defeat came on their last visit to South London when they went to Sutton and lost 1-0. They lost on penalties in the League Cup to Lincoln in the week, so they've not even lost a game. They drew the game, technically. So, yeah. Manager Peter Wilde joined at the start of the season, previously at Halifax Town. He had a tiny spell at Oldham Athletic, where they won at Fulham in the FA Cup, if you remember that. I've forgotten about that. Yeah, they won at Craven Cottage. But anyway, but he didn't. He was not a professional. Only played amateur football. Did not play professionally. So then
amateur.
Amateur. Josh Gordon is their forward, 27-year-old, who's got their 3 goals so far this season, so potentially one to watch. He was a product of the Stoke Academy. Are we going to do something, Stu, that we've not done for a very, very long time and win 2 consecutive games?
Potentially. It's going to be difficult, isn't it? They're a decent side. They're a lot, you know, they're a very much back-to-front team. Peter Wilde did really well with Halifax, unfancied last year, and got playoffs or just outside playoffs from memory.
Yeah, got the playoffs.
But do you know what? If you look at Halifax, they haven't, you know, them heavy heights haven't been there for a little while. So
since they started putting those pronouns on the badges.
Then went to Barrow, the team that everyone doesn't know where the hell it is. Took a few players from Halifax. Obviously, he's gone in there really well. First, you know, won at Stockport County in the first game of the season. One of my funniest moments of beating Bradford 3-2 after Bradford equalised with, I think, an injury time, and then they scored a winner in injury time. Bradford fans gave a bit of a larger, and I think that might have been a bit of a culture shock, anyone that goes to Barrow. So, but yeah, I also bumped into someone who was at the Barrow. I was on the train coming back from a game, and there was a Saturday night fan who'd been at the Barrow game and said they were hopeless. And that's their only defeat, isn't it? So,
yeah.
Hey, look, do you know what? I think we are going to win. We also have one. You know, like last year, we had so many runs, didn't we? That were negative runs. We now have a run of 3 consecutive games scoring 2 goals. So can we keep that going? Or 2 or more goals? That's what we've got to keep going. So I'm predicting a 2-0 win on Saturday.
Yeah, you were right the first time. Just 2 goals. We haven't scored more than 2. But yeah.
Yeah, but it's, you know, like consecutive runs. We've scored 3 consecutive games. We've scored 2 goals.
Yeah, so we could do it again.
Yeah.
I just think it's going to be a draw because that's what I do.
We're going to have loads there as well, aren't we? Because we've done that special. I think we've done a really good offer of the local fans who can bring their voucher.
Yeah.
and get two free tickets. And I think it's good because there's going to be loads of empty seats because Barrow will bring hardly any. Bless
yes, me. They will not bring very many. So we've done a smart thing, given a lot of that empty space to local residents. So that is a great shout from the club. Right, we're running late.
That's sounding great.
So we'll call it a day there. But Stu, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, everyone, for listening. Updates from the Barrow game will be on our Twitter and the at. Sorry, we'll be on our Twitter at. I can't get my words out now. On our Twitter at 9YRS Podcast, and before the game and after the game, 9YRS TV on YouTube, building up and then reviewing the game on Facebook as well. So tune in to that. Alex Woodyard is scheduled to appear, but that's it.
Yeah, he's agreed. He's agreed. So I see him committed.
Happy days. So join us there. Otherwise, we shall say thank you for listening. Alexa Bliss, bag first, milk last, 2 + 2 = 4. And we shall speak to you again next Friday.